The heavenly rain is what we desire. God is good. We've been so blessed this morning already, haven't we? So blessed with the worship. And blessed, have you noticed, it's a new keyboard. Praise God. The Lord put it on the heart of three families. They chipped together a brand new quality keyboard that we are now blessed with. Yes, yes. So good. God is just blessing us in all the little details. We did a couple of weeks ago, we were here and we had a barbecue. God gave us good weather for that. We praise Him for that. And then the organizer sent us, the auntie sent us the text messages and the emails with all the details of the cost of it. And it turned out all the costs were covered. All the costs were covered through the generosity of God's people. So we are truly blessed. We are truly blessed. God is good. The message today is come and see. Come and see. These are the words of Jesus. It's an invitation. Come and see. And then, as we get to see, we can then go to somebody else and say to them, come and see. And they too can experience. On Saturday, as you know, is the Franklin Graham big event in Glasgow. It's going to be amazing, it always is. There are such godly people and so well organized. They do everything in a very godly way. And all the events are, we can say, because we were involved when they had the event in Falkirk, we were involved and we saw it all firsthand. So when you're bringing your friends, you can be assured it's a very professional event and the gospel will be preached so clearly that people will know Jesus is saying, come and see. There's an invitation. So the Billy Graham organization, they have something called I Am Andrew. And they take the story of Andrew in the Gospels. But they actually didn't invent that themselves. When they had their campaign in 1954, whenever, in the UK, they discovered that there was one church that was continuously growing, and it was because they used this methodology where they were teaching people, you and Andrew. What does that mean? We're going to learn that this morning. Andrew is somebody that brings their friends and family and introduces them to Jesus. So I'm just going to ask, maybe Jeremy, you would hand out one each, or as many as people want. Just, it's a really nice idea. And it came from a church in the UK, and now it's used all around the world. Okay, today we're going to read. I'm in the New Living today, and we're on the Gospel of John chapter 1, starting from verse 26. This is John the Baptist. John told them, I baptize with water, but right here in the crowd is someone you do not recognize. Through his ministry, though his ministry follows mine, I'm not even worthy to be his slave and untie the straps of his sandals. This encounter took place in Bethany, an area east of the Jordan River, where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one I'm talking about when I say a man is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me. I did not recognize him as the Messiah, but I have been baptizing with water so that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John testified, I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove from heaven and resting upon him. I didn't know he was the one, but when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me, the one on whom you see the Spirit descend and rest is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I saw this happen to Jesus, so I testify that he is the chosen one of God. The following day, John was again standing with two of his disciples. And Jesus walked by, and John looked at him and declared, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." When John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Jesus looked around and saw them following. "What do you want?" he asked. They replied, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come and see," he said. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying, and they remained with him for the rest of the day. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who heard what John said and then followed Jesus. Andrew went to find his brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. I will just stop there. This is a wonderful account that was written by the Apostle John, but it's about John the Baptist. And it's interesting to me when I read this, because John the Baptist, as you know, was the greatest prophet ever. That's what Jesus said. But initially, John the Baptist did not recognize who Jesus was. If you're like me, when I read the New Testament and I read the Gospels, and people didn't recognize who Jesus was, I always think, these people, if I was there, I sure would have known this was Jesus. But actually, maybe we wouldn't have. Because here we have John the Baptist, such a godly man, called to a specific purpose by God. He lived and he heard the voice of God very clearly. We just heard it in this account. He knew the voice of God. And he knew who Jesus was because it was his cousin. So he would meet with him and he would know him. And yet he's saying initially he didn't recognize him as the Messiah. We always think, oh yes, we would have. We would have if we'd been there. But if John the Baptist didn't, maybe we wouldn't have either. Just think about that. As it says there in verse 26, that there was a whole crowd and they did not recognize them. There was a whole crowd of people, but they did not recognize. How did they not recognize? Well, they didn't recognize until the Holy Spirit made the revelation. Father God made the revelation to them. So here we have John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the one that would prepare the way for the Lord. We know that. That was his task. That's what he came to do. We read about him preaching. He was telling people to repent from their sin, and he was telling them to get water baptized. They would get baptized, full immersion in water, and baptism with water is a symbolic act of being cleansed, isn't it? Because you wash with water to become clean. However, John's baptism, they were repenting from the sin and renouncing evil and being baptized, but there was nothing that would make them stay clean. There was nothing for them to stay clean. That's the tricky part. How were they going to stay clean? And so John the Baptist said there would be one coming after him. And the one coming after him, he would be the one by the Holy Spirit to give us the power to stay clean. You see? That's what Jesus came for. And so John was making the way, preparing the way, telling people to repent. God has talked to us twice already this morning and told us to repent. We have to repent. It's a lifestyle of repentance because we want to always walk right before the Lord. So John's baptism demonstrated the humble willingness to repent, to be cleansed, and to prepare for the coming Messiah. But John's baptism gave them nothing to help them to keep clean. That would be the work of Jesus and his baptism of the Holy Spirit. And but these Jews, when they submitted into water baptism, they were actually humbling themselves because the commentator says that baptism would be what a Gentile would have to go through in order to enter into the Jewish faith. They would have to go through the water baptism. So John says in the account we just read that God had said to him, whoever the dove comes down, Holy Spirit comes and lands on, that will be the Messiah. That was when he got the revelation. Behold the Lamb of God. That's why today, this is Holy Spirit coordinated, because the people in the worship team, they pick their songs. They don't know what's going to be preached. But this is confirmation. Behold him. Behold him. That's what John said. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold. Come and see. John the Baptist was not pointing to himself. He was pointing the way. And so when Holy Spirit gave him the revelation, Jesus is the one, then he immediately would say, there he is. Behold him. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin for the world. So, so, so powerful. And so we have, this is now John's testimony. He's now a witness. He's a witness. What's a witness? A witness is someone that gives testimony as to what they have seen and experienced in an effort to establish truth. That's what a witness is. If you're called as a witness in a court case, you say what you've seen, what you've heard, what you've experienced, in order that the truth can come out and everybody will know the truth. So we've got John the Baptist, and he is a witness, and he testifies that Jesus is the Messiah. Now, John the Baptist, he's walking here. He's got two disciples. And one of them, of course, is Andrew. It doesn't say who the second one is, but a lot of people believe that it was probably John, not John the Baptist, but John that became the apostle. Because John has, when he writes, never describes himself. He just stays focused on describing the Lord. And it's a very, very precise description of what happened. So it sounds as if it was probably John that was there personally in order to be able to detail it as he has in this passage. But Andrew was there. So Andrew hears the witness and testimony of John the Baptist. And what does he do? Immediately, he turns around. And instead of being a disciple of John the Baptist, he starts to walk after Jesus. He starts to follow Jesus now. Why? Because John the Baptist had taught them that he was only there to prepare a way, but the Messiah was coming. So now when he hears Jesus is the Messiah, immediately Andrew believes. Immediately he believes the account. He doesn't go home to read up again and think about it and pray about it. Immediately, he believes. Do you see that? It's an amazing man. Immediately, as he hears, Holy Spirit witness, and he believes. And that's why he starts following Jesus right away. Andrew gets the revelation who the Messiah is before Peter. When you think about who were all these great apostles, you think of Peter, you think of John. Nobody typically mentions Andrew, but Andrew's actually a remarkable person. Because the minute the revelation is spoken out, he believes it. He takes the action and he changes his life around immediately. Immediately. So he gets a revelation who Jesus is before his brother Peter. Peter gets the revelation. We can read it in Matthew 16:16. This is when the disciples are with Jesus in the region of Caesarea Philippi. And Jesus, remember Jesus asked, who do people say I am? And then Jesus turns to the disciples and says, well, who do you say I am? And that is when Peter speaks out, and Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. So Father God gave Peter that revelation. But this is way after Andrew has the revelation. Andrew gets the revelation first. And then Andrew starts to follow Jesus. And they follow Jesus, and Jesus is asking them, you know, what do you want? And they're like, where do you live? Jesus says in verse 39, you can put that up, come and see. Come and see. This is the invitation of Jesus to everyone today. Come and see. Come and experience. Come and taste. Come. Come. The door's still open. We're still in the day of grace. Come. Come. The kingdom of God is open. Come. There's room. There's room for everyone. Come and see. It's an invitation to come and to live with Jesus. It's not an invitation just to join a church or an organization. These things are nice to be part of. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. But it's a personal invitation to live with Jesus. They wanted to see where Jesus lived, and Jesus said, come. Come and see. Come and join. Because Jesus is knocking on the door of our hearts. And he wants to have this personal relationship with each one. It's got to be experienced. The second instruction that Jesus gives. Remember this, we are in the first chapter of the Gospel of John. And these are the first instructions from Jesus. First one, come and see. The second one is, follow me. Follow me. Even Paul was careful when he told his followers to follow him. He was careful to say, as I also am a follower of Christ. Because every believer should be a follower of Jesus. That is our primary focus. So here we have in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, we already have the summary of what the Bible is all about. Come and see and follow me. Come and see is the invitation. And the second step is follow me, the commandment. Follow me. Simple. Everybody can understand it. I just find it fascinating that Andrew actually started to follow Jesus before the commandment was given. We just read that. The minute he had the revelation, he already started to follow. He's walking behind Jesus. He's just following him everywhere. This is the impact of revelation by the Holy Spirit. When we discover who Jesus is, you immediately want to follow him. This is the impact of Holy Spirit revelation in the heart. It is a supernatural thing. It's not an earthly thing. It's a supernatural thing that will, you drop everything and you follow Jesus. And then what does Andrew do? He immediately goes to look for his brother. They say, hey, we found him. We found the Messiah. He has to tell somebody. He immediately goes and finds his brother. This is the first account in the New Testament about brothers. Do I need to remind you about the first brother account in the Old Testament? Do you remember it? After the fall, Cain and Abel. Oh, that was a completely different story, wasn't it? Completely different story. Cain was seeking after Abel and decided to kill him. And that was because of sin, because of the fall. Very sad. And all through these thousands of years, that's what you have. But now Jesus has been revealed as the Messiah. And now we have brother to brother. He comes and says, we've found the Messiah. And he leads him and introduces him to Jesus. He is his brother's keeper. He knows this is his responsibility, and he delights to run, get his brother, say, if you find the desire, come. And he takes him, he says, this is Jesus, come on, come on. And he introduces Peter to Jesus, which is so beautiful. In verse 42, then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. In Proverbs 11, verse 30, in the New King James, it says, he who wins souls is wise. Andrew was a really wise person, because all through the New Testament we read that Andrew was always bringing people to Jesus. He's not the guy that was doing the leadership training. He wasn't on television. He wasn't on the platform that we know of. But when we read about him, there was always somebody, and he was introducing them to Jesus. He was a wise man. He was a wise man. This seems to be his ministry. Bringing people to Jesus, what a beautiful ministry that is. In John 6, verses 8 and 9, we read that he introduces the little boy to Jesus. This is the boy with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. It says, then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that with this huge crowd? But because he introduced the boy to Jesus, they opened the door for the miracle. He introduced him. Very significant. And then we read about the Greek. That's in John chapter 12, verses 20 to 22. Some Greek who had come to Jerusalem for the Passover celebration paid a visit to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee. They said, sir, we want to meet Jesus. Philip told Andrew about it, and they went together to ask Jesus. So Philip knew Andrew's the guy. If somebody wants to meet Jesus, Andrew's the guy. So that's why you get that little flyer there, to be an Andrew. This is meant for the event on Saturday, but it applies all through our lives. We're to be an Andrew. Just be a witness. When we did the barbecue, we had amazing testimonies. Amazing testimonies. Lives changed. Fear being cast out. People that were brought up in a bondage and certain religion becoming free by the power of the cross. Witness. Be an Andrew. What we also see in this account is the kind of different personalities and different giftings. Because you've got the 2 brothers, you've got Peter, and then you've got Andrew. And we can compare them, but we should never compare yourself with other people to the degree where you feel like you're not measuring up. Because we're not meant to be like somebody else. We're not meant to be a photocopy of another person. If God wanted you to be the other person, he would have just photocopied you, but he didn't. He made you unique. And so this sort of comparison is not really healthy, because Andrew has a beautiful ministry of bringing people to Jesus. And he is a man who believes immediately and takes action immediately. Peter, on the other hand, was different. He's thinking about it. But he had other great qualities. He became a great leader. But he wasn't Andrew, and Andrew wasn't Peter. They're completely different personality. One is not greater than the other. They're just different. We need to see that, and we need to celebrate that. Celebrate. This is the flavor of the body of Christ. We are all individuals and gifted differently. And we've just got to, God says, be yourself. The last time my brother came to visit from Denmark, it's just a few weeks back, he gave me a book that had just come out from one of the preachers that we both know back in Denmark, and I'm in the middle of reading it. And in it, he's describing his life and his ministry, and he talks about how the religious spirit through the years were really putting so much bondage on God's people. And when I was reading it, I thought, oh yeah, I forgot about those days. I forgot. Now it seems completely crazy, but in those days, if every female, you were not allowed to go to church wearing trousers. You had to wear a dress or a skirt. It just so happened that I have wearing a dress today. But even when they came to clean the church, they couldn't do it unless they had a skirt or a dress on. And you couldn't sing in the choir unless you wore a hat. If you want to wear a hat, that's fine. But these people were in such bondage. He's describing it, and when I'm reading it, I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot about all those days. Because when I grew up, it was all do's and don'ts. You're not allowed to do this, you're not allowed to do that. I had a friend who came from a Christian home, and they said, you are not allowed to knit on a Sunday because the Sunday is the Sabbath. I was like, what? I couldn't understand it. Of course, there's no common sense in it. I've still not found a scripture for it either, but that's another man. But it puts people in bondage, as opposed to Jesus is calling us into freedom. Yes, we've got to live godly lives. But you see, when you are ministering in this kind of environment and then you don't want to offend, it becomes a lot of bondage for you as well, because you need to stick to all these various man-made rules. But the Lord wants us to be free. He wants us to be free, and he wants us to be the person he's created us to be. In verse 37, John 1:37, when John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. So Andrew followed Jesus before Jesus said, follow me. He just immediately did it. I think that is such a beautiful heart. Don't you want to be an Andrew? Don't you want to be one that just immediately follows the Lord? Never mind what everybody else is doing. Just follow him. Let's just follow Jesus. Let's just do what he says. And then Philip comes to Jesus, and then he goes looking for Nathanael and says, we have found Jesus. This is in verse 46. Nazareth, exclaims Nathanael. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Come and see for yourself, Philip replied. Come and see. So here you have, Jesus says, come and see. And then, as they follow Jesus, then they say to the other people, you come and see. You come and experience for yourself. The Lord does not expect anyone just to believe because somebody else has got the conviction. Jesus said, you come and experience it for yourself. Taste and see. Come and see. Psalm 66 and verse 5. Come and see what our God has done. What awesome miracles he performs for people. And the last scripture I have is from John 4. John chapter 4, verses 26 and 29 is the story of the Samaritan woman. The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everybody, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? Come and see." Let's be Andrews and go and say to our brothers and sisters and work colleagues, neighbors, come and see. Amen.